Issues, Etc., regular guest Pastor Stephen Parks on why your congregation should join the Issues, Etc. 300.
If I could, I'd just like to challenge any Lutheran pastors that are listening to consider becoming one of the congregations that supports Issues, Etc. My own congregation is a very small church, and I know it can be difficult to try and budget $1,000 a year to become one of the Issues, Etc. 300. But if you're being blessed by this, as I know you are, and if your congregation is being blessed by this, as I know that it is, I submit to bring it to the congregation to prayerfully consider supporting the outreach of Issues, Etc., not only here in the United States, but also around the world. Thank you so much for what you do.
Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget. Simply go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, Etc. The Issues, Etc. 300.
But then comes Holy Week, the pain and the scorn and the shame of the cross. And we're reminded that in that moment he took on the sins of the world, past, present, and future.
I have no doubt whatsoever that Barack Obama is a very typical 21st century mainline Protestant.
When you look at the church at Corinth, it really is Issues, Etc. It'd be great to go back in time and give every member of that congregation an I Have Issues t-shirt.
Whether Christ's resurrection happened has nothing to do with faith. What it means, what its benefits are, that's a matter of faith.
Indiana truck drivers love Issues, Etc.
How do you evaluate a claim as remarkable as, I have received divine revelation from God? Now, many have made this claim, some more credible than others, but many have believed the claims. The religion of Islam is entirely built upon people's willingness to believe the claim that Muhammad received divine revelation via an angel of the Quran, and they believe it with all their hearts. Mormonism is built entirely upon people's willingness to believe the claim of Joseph Smith when he said that he had a similar divine revelation, and there are many today who make claims to divine revelation. Of course, in Christian scripture, there are those who do so as well. St. Paul claimed to have received divine revelation. How do we discern and distinguish between such claims? Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live this Friday afternoon, April the 29th. I invite your questions or comments in the first half hour of the program for Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on discerning divine revelation, 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. Or in about a half hour, we'll be playing Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week with you. And again, I invite your votes for Soundbite of the Week and your participation. You can vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, or by email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or by tweet at issuesetc, or you can wait until Soundbite of the Week starts in about a half hour, and you can give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is a regular guest. He's Professor Emeritus at the University of Bedfordshire in England, Distinguished Research Professor of Philosophy and Christian Thought at Patrick Henry College, a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, and a member of the Bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. He's author and editor of more than 50 books, including his Tractatus Logico Theologicus. Dr. Montgomery, welcome back.
Thank you.
Normally, you would be joining us from either somewhere on the East Coast of the United States or Strasbourg, France, but I assume, of course, that you are joining us from London today, for I assume also that you received a personal invitation to the royal wedding.
Hardly. It was very disappointing not to receive a personal invitation, but I was consoled by the fact that Tony Blair likewise did not receive an invitation. Rowan Atkinson, Mr. Bean, got an invitation, but I didn't. I know Tony from the fact that he and I are both barrister members of Lincoln's Inn, and I don't know that there was any prejudice against Lincoln's Inn. I have a feeling that the reason why Tony was not invited was simply that the couple are conservative politically, and former prime ministers were invited. But since I'm not in that category at all, I stayed in Strasbourg where, because it's France, the food is immensely better.
So whether it's a royal wedding or not, you will be your culinary desires will be better satisfied in France.
Oh, always, always.
Dr. Montgomery, when we're dealing with any claim of divine revelation, be it from St. Paul, Muhammad, Joseph Smith, or anyone who might claim it today, what is our first consideration?
Well, it's whether such a claim can be justified. I mean, I've sometimes had the thought of claiming that my books are divinely inspired. And if there are naive people out there who would simply trust my assertion, then this would increase the sales immensely. Claiming something is not the same as demonstrating it. And in the case of Joseph Smith, for example, he said that the angel Moroni gave him these golden plates and the Urim and the Thummim to translate them, etc. But there's absolutely no corroborating evidence of this at all. And in the case of Muhammad, there's even less to support the claim. Muhammad said that there is one God, Allah, and he, Muhammad, was his prophet, the final word from God. But he offered no evidence of this whatsoever. So it really is silly to go along with someone simply saying that he is the mouthpiece of God. There have been a lot of people who've attempted this kind of thing, and they've mutually contradicted each other, so it's perfectly clear they all couldn't have been the mouthpiece of God. But without any sort of support for such an assertion, there's no reason to believe any of them.
Well, that's one of the first things I want to deal with, which is some people simply avoid discerning one claim of divine revelation from another by, as you just said, saying, look, why can't it just be that Muhammad heard some, and Joseph Smith maybe heard some more, and St. Paul and others heard as well, and our job here is to simply kind of conglomerate all of this together and figure out what God's trying to tell us.
Well, if there's no evidence that any one of these claims we've just been talking about, except for that of St. Paul, have no value, then you certainly don't want to combine them. I mean, a combination of a number of poor or illogical arguments will not give you one good argument.
Then, while Islam, to choose those two examples, Islam and Mormonism, rest entirely upon the credibility of the claim made by either Muhammad or Joseph Smith, respectively.
Yes, this is right. The early editions of the Book of Mormon did include a list of so-called testimonies, but these were simply testimonies to the fact that Joseph Smith was a nice fellow. And one of those testimonies was from allegedly from a professor at the King's College, what is now Columbia University. This was a Charles Anthon, who was a classic scholar. And after the publication of the Book of Mormon, Anthon, at his own expense, paid for an advertisement in which he said, I don't know Joseph Smith, I've never known Joseph Smith, and with good luck, I never will know Joseph Smith. Those testimonies aren't worth anything, and we have absolutely no way of demonstrating that Muhammad's claims are anything more than his own personal opinion.
While those two religions rest entirely upon the claims of those two men, does Christianity rest upon the claim of one Saint Paul or something else?
Well, Paul claimed that he had contact with Jesus on the road to Damascus and that he had been appointed an apostle born out of due time, an apostle to the Gentiles. If that's all we had, there'd be no more reason to believe him than to believe Joseph Smith or Muhammad. But the difference is this, that he was accepted by the original apostolic company, the apostles other than Judas, who had by then killed himself. The original apostles accepted him as a genuine apostle. Now, why is that significant? That's significant because in John 14 and John 16, Jesus gives a gift to the original apostolic company. This is the gift of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus says, you will be led into all truth, and the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance all things whatsoever I have told you. Oscar Coleman, the great French-Swiss theologian, said this was the gift of total recall. These original apostles were inspired by God to recall Jesus' entire teaching, and it's on that basis, of course, that the early church collected the writings of apostles. Now, if those original apostles had received that gift, they never in the world would have accepted Paul's claim to be an apostle unless that claim conformed to what they already knew about Jesus' teachings. So, the claim of Paul is validated by his acceptance by the original apostolic company. And the reason we accept the statement of the original apostolic company is because Jesus gave the gift of the Holy Spirit to those apostles. Now you may well say, but how do we know that Jesus did any such thing? Or how do we know that he has the power to do such a thing? And that takes us back to his claim to be God Almighty and his evidence for this by way of his resurrection from the dead. He said, tear down this temple, and in 3 days I will build it again. He spoke of the temple of his body, and after he rose again from the dead, they remembered this, they believed on him. So, the logic goes like this. First, Jesus claims to be God, and he demonstrates that he is God come to earth by his resurrection from the dead. And therefore, whatever he says as God Almighty is going to be true. And he promises the gift of the Holy Spirit to the apostles, to the original apostolic company. They, in turn, accept St. Paul. And that's what corroborates the claim of St. Paul to be divinely inspired. And fascinatingly enough, if you go in the New Testament to 2 Peter,
let's take a break right here, and we'll let you finish that thought on the other side, Dr. Montgomery. We're talking about discerning divine revelation, and we will come back to his argument in favor of St. Paul's claim right after this.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
International human rights attorney and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the importance of Issues Etc.
Before settling in England and France, I had my own Christian radio program for 10 years in California and 2 years in Washington State. I was also a regular for over a decade on national religious television. In a word, I have had a great deal of contact with evangelical programming, both good and bad, and my judgment in this area is probably worth something. In my opinion, Issues Etc. is one of the very few programs on Christian radio willing to discuss tough questions with solid theological answers. I consider it a great privilege to be able to appear on the program regularly, and I commend it to every serious listener.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Defending the Faith, Teaching the Truth, Issues, etc.
The slow march up that hill, and the pain and the scorn and the shame of the cross.
Whether Christ's resurrection happened has nothing to do with faith. What it means, what its benefits are, that's a matter of faith.
When you look at the church at Corinth, it really is issues, etc.
My real problem is that I'm going to die, and the church should be proclaiming the solution to that problem.
In about 20 minutes here, on this Friday afternoon, April the 29th, Issues, Etc., Soundbite of the Week. We'll have four soundbites to play for you, and you get to choose from them which you think ought to be Soundbite of the Week. That's 20 minutes from now. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest. We're talking about discerning divine revelation. So far, you've established that Paul's claim to divine revelation rests really upon Christ's person and work, his resurrection from the dead, and on the basis of that, the apostolic acceptance of his message and recognition that he received the same Holy Spirit. You were going to direct us to 2 Peter in that vein.
Well, yes, I was, but then there was this commercial that for some reason interrupted St. Peter, and that doesn't seem right to me. But in any case, if listeners go to 2 Peter 3:15 and 16, chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, there is something very interesting there that is hardly ever noticed. Peter there says that there are people who rest, who take Paul's writings out of context, quote, as they do the other scriptures, unquote. And the term for scriptures there is ta graphe, which is the Greek corresponding to the Torah, the Old Testament revelation. Now, what does that passage signify? It signifies that even within the writings of the original apostolic community, including Peter's own epistles, they were already taking Paul's writings as the equivalent of the Old Testament scriptures. And of course, Jesus had stamped the Old Testament scriptures with his absolute approval. He said that they testify of him, and not a jot nor a tittle shall pass until all be fulfilled, and so forth. So this is a further corroboration of the fact that the original apostolic company had accepted the writings, had accepted Paul and his writings as on the level of Scripture. And that means that they had accepted him as an apostle, because the apostolic criteria were the appropriate criteria for New Testament revelation.
And should we also note that what St. Paul claims by way of divine revelation really in no way adds to, and most certainly does not subtract from, what any of the other apostles had recorded of Christ, either in writing via the Gospels or in their own preaching, the other apostolic preaching and message?
Well, sure. I mean, had there been any conflict, obviously the original apostolic company would not have accepted Paul on the same level as themselves. So the writings of Paul are in conformity with what we get in the writings of the original apostles. To raise the question as to conflict is like raising the question as to whether there's a conflict between what Matthew and John or John and Timothy and so forth. The fact of the matter is that one can reconcile any apparent contradictions in the New Testament writings with very little difficulty.
How important is it to notice that in the case of both Joseph Smith and Muhammad, the parallels are remarkable, actually, even though the men are worlds apart in terms of geography and time, both of them claim to be receiving divine revelation that would correct what was assumed to be a earlier but corrupted revelation.
Yes, and this is especially interesting in the case of Muhammad, because the Quran contains supposed information about Jesus which contradicts what you find in the New Testament. For example, that Jesus didn't die on the cross. Apparently there was a substitute, and that Jesus was not the unique Son of God. He was only a prophet in a line of prophets leading up to Muhammad. Now, the question in a situation like this is whether writing 7 centuries later, one could know more about the activities of Jesus than the eyewitnesses knew 7 centuries earlier. I was in a debate in London some years ago with an imam from Canada, and I said, think of it this way. I said, suppose I were to claim that that America was not discovered by Christopher Columbus, but by Guido Colombo, his half-brother. No serious historian would consider this as a legitimate claim, because there is evidence from the time as to what actually happened. Now, in the case of Muhammad, all that Muhammad does is to claim that what he is saying is divine revelation. Well, if he had some way of demonstrating that, then I suppose that would mean that the New Testament was wrong and needed to be corrected. But it's exactly the reverse. It's the New Testament that is solidly based in apostolic authority given by Christ himself, who demonstrated his own authority by rising again from the dead, whereas Muhammad offers no evidence for his divine authority at all. And therefore, why would anyone in his right mind accept a revision of the information concerning Jesus as provided 7 centuries later?
Mike is listening in Kansas City. Hi, Mike. Thanks for being patient.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor. I wish people listening would consider supporting Issues, Etc. It's a great resource. And Dr. Montgomery, I'll have to say, I can only imagine how you must feel by being usurped by Mr. Bean.
He's a wonderful comedian. He really is.
Yes. The question I have for you is that you got all these evangelical leaders today that talk about extra-biblical revelation, and they even have these list of 7 or 8 things that you can do to make sure that the voice you're hearing from within your spirit is truly from God, that sort of thing. This is really akin to what you're talking about, I think. And can we say that biblically, there is no extra-biblical revelation today? Can we say that biblically?
Thank you very much, Mike. Thanks for listening in Kansas City. Dr. Montgomery.
Yes, we can say that there is no extra-biblical revelation. There is, of course, personal guidance. That is to say, the Holy Spirit resides in the hearts of believers, and we are guided in our decisions if we want to act in accord with God's will. There's no question about that, but that's not the same thing as revelation. Revelation is general truth, which would apply to the entire church, to the world, for that matter. The problem with these people who claim to be apostles today, or whatever they will call themselves, prophets, etc., the problem is exactly what we've been talking about. They have no way whatsoever of demonstrating that they have that kind of unique authority given by God. The original apostolic company was limited to the first century. How do we know this? Because when a substitute for Judas was elected, one of the criteria was that he needed to have been with Jesus from the beginning and a witness to the resurrection. All right, that automatically limited the apostolic company to the first century. The only exception to this was Paul, born out of due time. He was a witness to the resurrected Christ, but of course he had not apparently been present during the earthly ministry of Christ, or at least had heard this. But as we've already said, he was given this special stamp of approval by that original apostolic company. So we have either 12 or 13 apostles, depending upon whether you consider Paul to be the genuine substitute for Judas, because we don't hear anything further of Matthias, who was elected, or whether we consider this 13, it's not really important. But the important thing is that you are not going to get any more apostles. after the first century, after the death of the original apostolic company. And that means that when somebody says, I'm Apostle Jones, he may be Jones, but he certainly is not an apostle. And the people who claim to be presenting some kind of revelation on the same level as Holy Scripture should be avoided like the plague.
Our guest, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, teaches each summer in Strasbourg, France, at the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. Dr. Montgomery, with less than a minute here before we take our next break, tell us a little bit about this annual academy.
Well, it's the one way to learn how to defend the faith today in light of the objections presented by unbelievers. And if we're serious about preaching the gospel to every creature, and if we realize the secular nature of the world in which we find ourselves, we really need that kind of training. And the foremost apologists who have debated non-Christians, who have written in these areas, teach for us each summer. The program is full for this summer, but in 2012, it's possible for 20 people to take part and learn how to defend the gospel effectively. And we would strongly advise listeners to Issues Etc. To consider this. We can take only 20. It's not expensive. It's no more expensive than taking one of those worthless Hawaiian holidays in which you lie on the beach and get sunburned. Here, you're in the French Rhineland with a wonderful cultural experience, but also in contact with those who will teach you how to defend the gospel. This carries academic credit in America, so it's something to consider very seriously.
And when we come back, I'll tell you a little bit more about that academy. We will post a link to the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
What does God's Word teach about prayer, the Holy Spirit, baptism, angels and demons, the Lord's Supper, creation, marriage and family, predestination, and the end times? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, The Lutheran Difference. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Lutheran Difference by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, The Lutheran Difference.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
More life-giving research alternatives.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Announcing several ethical alternatives to embryonic stem cell research that hold great promise. New technology can cause adult skin cells to develop into different types of cells, a process that before was only possible with embryonic cells. Another popular method is using umbilical cord blood, which is rich in stem cells, and harvesting them harms neither mother nor baby. Growing in popularity is also something called baby tooth technology, which allows parents to preserve their young children's cells by preserving their baby teeth. None of these techniques harm a human embryo, and all hold promises for cures.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back to Issues Etc. 5 more minutes with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on discerning divine revelation. Then we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Dr. Montgomery, final question then. Compare and contrast the divine revelation claimed by the Apostle Paul with the divine revelation claims of Joseph Smith, Muhammad, and the false prophets of today.
Well, as we were saying, the difference is that the claims of Joseph Smith and Muhammad and the so-called prophets and apostles of the present time, the characteristic of these claims is that they are simply personal utterances. The people who present these claims say that they are the mouthpiece of God, but to make a claim is not the same as to demonstrate something. I'm a lawyer, and you probably realize that there is no problem whatever in filing a claim. Anybody can claim anything, but that doesn't mean that one's going to win the case. To win the case, you've got to have evidence. And those claims are qualitatively different from the claims that we find in the New Testament. In the New Testament, we have the apostles claiming to be mouthpieces of God, receiving a special revelation, the original apostles, and then Paul. And there we have Jesus himself putting a stamp of approval on what they are going to be doing. Through that special gift of the Holy Spirit that he has promised to them. He says that the Holy Spirit will bring to their remembrance all things whatsoever he has told them. Okay, total recall. And Jesus is able to back this kind of thing up through his fulfilled prophecy, through his miracles, and principally through his resurrection from the dead. Jesus demonstrates that he is God Almighty, and that means that whatever Jesus says is true and needs to be trusted, and that includes his approval of what the apostles are going to be writing and what St. Paul, as the last of the apostles, will be writing.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is Professor Emeritus at the University of Bedfordshire in England. He's Distinguished Research Professor of Philosophy and Christian Thought at Patrick Henry College, a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, a member of the Bar of the Supreme Court of the United States, an author and editor of more than 50 books, including Tractatus Logico Theologicus. You can find out about Dr. Montgomery's books and the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Montgomery, thank you very much.
You're most welcome.